Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, welcome. I'm Angela Loeb, and thanks for listening in for this first of a series highlighting the Four Agreements, which you'll find in a book by the same name by Miguel Ruiz. I came across the book back in 2005 during a particularly challenging time in my life, going through a lot of personal stuff during that time. And let's just say that for me, it was like that old adage, the teacher shows up when the student is ready. So, yeah, that was a really important time for me. But don't you agree that sometimes guidance and teaching is easier to grasp when it comes in the form of numbered lists with clear instructions, you know, like the Ten Commandments or the Seven Habits or the Four Agreements? A friend of mine says she likes books that offer numbered lists because she feels like she's checking off the boxes as she reads. And I know what she means. Numbered lists make me feel like I'm moving forward. I'm measuring progress. Anyway, let's first have a little background on the Four Agreements and its author, Don Miguel Ruiz. And this is straight from his website, some of which is mentioned in the book as well. He's the youngest of 13 children. He was born in Mexico to parents who are healers and practitioners of the ancient Toltec traditions. He went to medical school, though, and he became a neurosurgeon. But when a near-death experience because of a car crash changed the direction of his life, it caused him to leave medicine and to examine the essential truth about life and humanity. And he looked to his ancestral teachings and attributes the concepts of his book to the traditional wisdom of the Toltecs, which is an ancient Mesoamerican culture. That's pretty cool, of course, but nevertheless, what Ruiz says in his book is timeless wisdom and can be found in other spiritual philosophies and other cultures as well. For example, I found some specific parallels to the teachings of Buddha, such as Mitote. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the Toltec word properly, but anyway, Mitote reminds me of the description of what Buddhists call the monkey mind. One can make the case that Jesus of Nazareth was a living example of the mastery of these four behaviors that Ruiz describes. So, well, that would be an interesting and intriguing analysis. But I don't want to digress. My intention today is to share the four, list of four agreements, and then discuss the first one in a little more detail. And in later episodes, I want to cover the other three in more depth, too. So quickly, here's the list of the four. Number one, be impeccable with your word, and that's what we'll talk about today. Number two, don't take anything personally. Number three, don't make assumptions. Number four, always do your best. Now, Ruiz promises that by simply committing yourself to these four agreements, your life will change for the better. That's a big claim, isn't it? I mean, I know. I mean, if you're feeling dubious about this, like, can this really happen? Can it really change my life? Yeah, sure. A lot of books will claim that. And when I first read this book back in 2005, that's the same thing I thought. And early days of trying to practice what he was talking about, I still felt like I was kind of dubious that it was going to change my life. But I want to tell you, just keep your mind open and follow along, and you can decide for yourself if the four agreements resonate. And if you're already aware of the four agreements, perhaps you're familiar with this book, it's been out a long time, you know, maybe you're a fan like I am, then enjoy this refresher and maybe even revel in how far you've probably come in your life as a result of knowing about and following these seemingly simple agreements. All right, now let's talk about the first one, be impeccable with your word. Here's how Ruiz describes it. He says, to do this, this is what you need to do. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. Now, as you can tell, there's a whole lot more depth here than simply speaking clearly, you know, being impeccable with your word, meaning speaking clearly. Now, let's look at the first layer, use of the word impeccable. Now, I had never thought of to utilize that kind of a word in this kind of a context. Probably more like I would think of it as James Bond wore a tuxedo that fit him impeccably, and his ability to blindly taste and identify rare wines was impeccable. I would have never thought of this word in regards to spiritual wisdom, but according to the New World Dictionary, impeccable does have a more spiritual connotation because it actually means not, quote, not liable to sin or wrongdoing, and, quote, without defect or error, faultless, flawless. Well, you know, I might call James Bond flawless in many things, but I would never call him not liable to sin. Okay, so obviously Ruiz doesn't want us to aim toward perfect communication. I mean, he doesn't want us to just aim toward that. He wants us to not just have good communication. He wants us to have perfect communication. That's what the impeccable is, right? Flawless communication. Well, the second layer is speak with integrity. Now, I already know that integrity means more than just doing something morally right. It means having wholeness. To have integrity means to be whole. So speaking with integrity and saying only what we mean, that refers to a sense of wholeness, of saying entirely what we mean and saying it in the context of doing the right thing. All right, so the next layer, see, keep going down layer. Avoid using the word to speak, this is what he says, avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Now, when I was a child, I'm sure when you were a child, we were taught to never say something behind someone's back that we wouldn't say to their face. And I've never considered myself a gossip, but sometimes I do find myself sharing news, quote-unquote news, from a third-party perspective. Now, is that okay? I mean, especially if I say it's third-party perspective and it's not something I know for sure, like if I put that disclaimer on it, does that get me off the hook from being less than impeccable when writing and speaking about other people? Nope, not really, not according to Ruiz. Now, it's quite a challenge to stop yourself before you speak and ask yourself if what you're about to say serves the higher good of all concerned, as well as contains this wholeness and perfection. For me, it's just an ongoing challenge to ask myself if I know the full truth of a story before I tell it. And then I can ask my fallback question, quote, what is motivating me to tell this? That's when it really gets tricky, huh? 9 times out of 10, I realize I just need to change the subject. So, yeah. And then there's the stories that not just that we tell about others, but that we tell about ourselves. I mean, for me, this is mostly about negative self-talk. I don't know who said it first, but it's brilliant. If we talk to others the way we talk to ourselves, we'd be accused of abuse. Oh, boy. I know what they mean. That critic inside of me is strong sometimes, just like it is in everybody else. And when I've delved a little deeper into Ruiz's message about this, especially about the self-love part, I realize that his advice isn't anything new. In the New Testament, in Mark 12:31, Jesus is said to have taught that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, which clearly means that he means us to love ourselves to begin with. So there it is. Chen Yuxi, who's a PhD and professor in the Department of Religious Studies at Fo Kwang University in Taiwan, says this in his essay. It's called The Buddha on Compassion, Existential Approach. He says in his essay, quote, the Buddha and many Western thinkers concur that loving ourselves is the foundation of love and compassion for others. As the Buddha observes, quote, you can never travel around the world to search for someone more lovable than yourself, and yet that person is never to be found, end quote. So that's very insightful. So yes, loving yourself entails not speaking against yourself, and this is using the word in an impeccable way. On the flip side, I can see that Ruiz means speaking with integrity, or rather with truth in both directions. Yes, there's the critic, but what about when your ego gets caught up in receiving pats on the back and other quote-unquote forms of praise? So, yeah, there's the self-critic getting beating yourself up. But then what about when people are telling you, you're so awesome? I really like what Professor Yuxi goes on to say about this in the article. Quote, self-love, however, should not be confused with narcissism and ego-centeredness. It comes from a process of healthy personal growth in which the actualization of our personal potentials, especially in the service of others, brings us joy and happiness and enhances our self-worth rather than our self-conceit. To love ourselves is to be continuously in touch with the source of joy and happiness and to learn to appreciate the goodness and we have in us, quote, end quote. So Christian, Buddhist, all of that is just ancient wisdom, right? And these are wonderful realizations, all these layers of Ruiz's message, be impeccable with your word. However, what I love most about this, of the first of the four agreements, is this. If you would become conscious of what you say, of how you use the word, you would become conscious, period. In other words, the very act of becoming more aware of your words and the very act of purposely choosing more perfect communication, by default, you become more awakened. Of course, this is a fairly easy concept to grasp abstractly. I mean, intellectually, it makes a lot of sense, right? But it's not exactly easy to put into practice, especially if you have a lifetime of programming that you need to change, right? But change you must when you want to do the real work of being impeccable with your word. And just because something is not exactly easy to do, it doesn't mean you're not able to do it. All right, so that wraps up the first agreement. In the next episode, I'm going to talk about the second agreement, and it's the one that I have found to be the hardest to grasp, the hardest to do, and the most profoundly influential of the four in changing my life and making me a happier person and making me more peaceful and at ease, even during stressful times. And that's don't take anything personally. So that is, it's a good one, so good, but it is so hard. So I'm looking forward to talking with you about that one, and that's next up on October 16. In the meantime, feel free to reach out and connect. Maybe send me your thoughts on this program, your feedback. You can find me as well as more, you can find out more about my programs by going to angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com, and that'll take you right into my website to my About page. Okay, until next time, be impeccable with your word, try your best, and keep on shining like you're meant to.